You are listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, orlandocitychurch.com. Today, lead pastor Eugene Smith will start out our new series called Plugged In. God has a purpose for all of us to live free. The people in your life are no accidents. God has placed you where you are to influence those people around you and ultimately point them to the answer. Maybe today, God is showing you some people in need of the truth. Our scripture text comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1. Today's message is entitled, Valley of Dry Bones.
How many of you remember your very first job? Now, some of you, maybe you're still a little young, but how many remember your very first job? How many remember how much you made in your very first job? $201 an hour. I remember my first job, $201 an hour. No, you can't believe that. It's $201 an hour. I think I made my first job. Actually, my first job, my very first job, was a paper boy. And my mom let me, at the age of four, become, against her better judgment, at the grade four. She said, at grade four. Yeah, not the age of four. At the grade four, my mom let me become, how old are you at grade four? 9 years of age. I had a paper route. And that's good. You helped me remember. I can't remember back. I've been married all my life, so I mean, grade four, I can't remember back that far. But my mom let me become a paper boy. I think I made about $50 a month, fourth grade. But I had more money than anybody else in my neighborhood. I mean, nobody else was working. But I figured out that if I was going to buy clothes, and we came from a poor family, and if I was going to have stuff that I wanted, I was going to have to work. Figured that out really quick. My father was a union shop steward. He was a machinist and a painter. My grandfather worked for Douglas McDonald as some kind of loader. I mean, it was a long time ago. I don't even really know. My other grandfather retired from the Navy. He was an enlisted man. So long, long line. This country was built by people who work, who know how to work. And we honor labor and we honor work because it's our way of bringing glory to God this Labor Day weekend. I would encourage you this weekend, spend time with your family. Reconnect with friends. Do some work. Do some honeydew projects around the house. Whatever you got to do. But enjoy Labor Day weekend this week. During the service this morning, we're going to be talking about not only connecting with God, we're going to be talking about connecting with other people and the vision that God has for this city. And so this morning, I just want you to make yourself available to this. You can still focus while I'm preaching this morning, but I want you to take this blue card. And at the end of the service, the ushers will have a bucket in the back. You can hand it. You can turn it into them. And we're going to be talking about this for the next 4 weeks. So this won't be your first opportunity to do this. But over the next 4 weeks, you'll have an opportunity to turn in this blue card. And we're going to be talking, like I said, more about getting plugged in to God and to other people. Ezekiel chapter 37. If you could stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. And the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? What a question. What a question. Can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones. Everyone say, dry bones. Lord, you alone know. Then he said, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, a sound. And the bones came together, bones to bones. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Father, in the next few moments, open every heart spiritually. I pray today that we will have spiritual eyes to see the vision that you have given to us in this great church. Bless your people this day. I pray that you will add to the reading of your word your grace and a measure of great faith to receive this in your wonderful name. Amen. You know, the purpose that God has created us for is to live free. God has created you and I to live free in his spirit, free from sin, free from bondage, free from self-defeating attitudes, free from unbelief, free from fear. God has created you and I to live lives of freedom. Jesus said it like this: whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's great freedom in a relationship that we have with God. And God not only wants you to be free, but God wants everyone in this city to experience that same freedom. But not only in this city, in the communities that surround this city. And not only those communities, all throughout the state of Florida. And not only throughout the state of Florida, all the United States of America. And then you step on the United States of America, you can take that broad sweeping brush all the way down to Mexico and to Canada. And then you go down into South America. And then you go up into Alaska and the Arctic, if there's anybody living up there. And then you can take it over to Europe and all the European, Eastern European, and Western European continents. And then you can move south into Africa, Northern Africa, and East Africa, and West Africa, and Southern Africa. And you can bring it across to South America and to the islands of the sea and the Pacific and Australia and New Zealand, where they just had a terrible earthquake. I mean, you can take this broad, sweeping brush, the hand of God, because all men are created in his image. God wants all men to live free. Jesus came for the whole world. This morning, we experience God through worship. We connected with God, and it was awesome. We have an awesome group of worshipers that love to worship Jesus in this church. We have a vision that God has given to us. We believe that the vision that God has is for every person on this planet. And over the last 4 weeks, we preached on the vision that God has for people. God's vision for people goes something like this: I am healthy. Everyone say, I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm holy. I'm humble. I'm faith-filled. I'm fun-loving. Born-again Christian. Now, born-again, sanctified, child of God. You can say however you want, but we are a born-again child of God. People of new life. People who've been called to live free. See, that's our vision. But not only do we have a vision of God and what his purpose is, but God also has a mission for us as his people. And our mission is what we do, how we live, the kind of lives that we live while we're on this planet, living the free life. And our mission goes something like this. We exist as a church. City Church exists to bring God's love to the city one person at a time. Everyone say that with me. City Church exists to bring God's love to the city one person at a time. How do we do it? We worship Jesus with people from every nation, generation, and culture. We connect in relationship together. We equip one another to be devoted followers of Christ, and we release them into their ministry. You see, that's what God has called us to do as a mission. That's the mission that God has for this church. I wanted to read just a few numbers, a few statistics, not to bore you, but just to kind of brag on what God is doing at City Church right now. You know, sometimes if you just come to an 8:30 service and this is the only time that you're here during the week, you're missing so much of what's happening on this campus. Because City Church, as you know, on Sunday morning, we have 3 adult services, but we also have 3 children's church services. And we also have a middle school service at the 10 o'clock hour. So on Sunday morning, there are 7 services that are taking place on this campus. Can you give the Lord a great big hand? On Tuesday night, we have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. In that ministry, it's a ministry that helps people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And in that service, they have a worship service, and they have a time of teaching, and they break up, and they connect with one another. They share with one another what's going on in their life. So that's another service. So that's 8 services. And then we have a Wednesday night service. We have an adult service. And our adult service, we have a time of worship, and then we break up into small groups, and we connect with God, we learn about God, and we connect with one another. But then our youth have a service over here. Our youth service is so large now, they're actually, this week, we're having to go to 2 youth services on Wednesday night. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand clap. I mean, you walk in here Wednesday night, there's not a place, there's no empty seats. This place is completely packed. And so because kids like to hang out, they're like sometimes three or four kids like in one seat. I mean, they're just, they're hanging out, they're having a great time. And it isn't just like a youth group, it's a youth church. They're encountering God. The power of God is here, an incredible, the worship is incredible. The preaching is awesome. The kids are giving their life to Jesus from all over this community. Their lives are being transformed and changed. And so we have two, so that's another three. So how many do I got now? Royal Ranger Missionettes. 13, what's that? Chapel. Oh, 14. Chapel. Preschool. They have 65 kids in the preschool. And every Friday in our preschool, they sing songs about Jesus. The two-year-olds and the three-year-olds even bring the babies in. And in this last week, they learned about Noah and the Ark. So not only do they have a time of worship, not only are we teaching kids from the community whose parents don't even fellowship, many of them, at a local church, we're teaching them the songs of Jesus. And they get to hear the Word of God. This week they learned about Noah and the Ark, and it was really cool, and it was so creative, and the teachers did an incredible job. So 14 services every week glorifying God on this campus. Can you give the Lord a great big hand clap? Now let me just share with you, this is just Sunday morning. We are going to get the youth numbers eventually added into here. We're going to get all this figured out, but this is just Sunday morning. These are just people that turned in a little blue Connect card, the little prayer card that we ask people to fill out. These are just people that have filled out a card, or their children had to sign into the nursery, or they had to sign in over at the children's church over here. These are just people that we've been able to track. Since January this year until August 31st, that was last week, we've had 678 people that have actually filled out a card that have walked through the doors of this church for the very first time. Come on. 678. That's first time. That's just first time people. Now, we figure about half the people don't ever fill a card out. Right, Jana? Where's Jana? Jana, she's back there counting cards right now. About half the people don't even turn in a card. So we're going to be conservative. This isn't youth numbers. Pastor Glenn, how many first-time people do you think you guys average on a Wednesday night? About 9. So youth service, so about 30 weeks, they average about 9 or 10. So that's another 300. So we're almost at 1,000 people that we've been able to track walk through the doors for the very first time in this church. People that have returned on the adult service, 163 for the second time, and the third service, 151. Our weekly average attendance for the month of August. In January, our weekly average attendance was 334. February is 338. By the month of August, our weekly average attendance is 507 people on a Sunday morning service. Come on, can you give the Lord a great big hand? We're just making room. How many of you noticed the parking lot a little bit different today? You know, we finally decided that when everybody just, last week people literally couldn't get out of the parking lot, and it ain't done yet. We got signs and we got more things that are going to be taking place this week so we can direct the traffic. We added 25 parking spots, just making another row out there in the field, just doing a simple little thing like that. And we're going to get everybody to park correctly. We're going to get everybody to drive in around this circle. It's no longer going to be a free-for-all. I know you like the free-for-alls, but we're going to help you out there, get you parked in. I mean, God's doing some really cool things. But I got to tell you something. We've had, let's say, 1,000 people come through the doors for the very first time. That's, you know, this year, by the end of the year, we'll have 1,500, 2,000 people that have come through the doors of this church for the very first time. That's an attractional church. That's an attractional church. But what the Holy Spirit has put in my heart, and we've never been able to quite put our finger on, is we don't want just to become an attractional church. We want to be a connecting church. We want people to connect with God and with one another. You see, it's not until people get connected with God through relationships, by connecting with other one another, that they really begin to experience the life of freedom that God has for them. This vision, it's actually quite a disturbing vision that Ezekiel had. It's probably one of the most preached visions in all of Christianity, in all of Judaism for the last 2,600 years. This vision has significant relevance to the people that it was written to the Jewish people. I'm not a replacement theologian. I don't believe that what God did for Israel, what God said about Israel, was just for the Old Testament times, and it has nothing to do with Christianity today. As a matter of fact, I believe that this vision that God gave to Ezekiel, it represents Israel as a signpost to the nations, to our generation, saying that there is a God. There is a God who keeps his promises to his people. Ezekiel was 25 years of age when God gave him this vision. He was a 25-year-old man whose family had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And he had seen destruction. He had seen death. He had seen mayhem. The Babylonians were brutal. They were cruel. When they went into Israel, they conquered the nation of Israel because God's hand of discipline was upon the Jewish people for their disobedience, for living life any way that they wanted to live, for worshiping any kind of God that they wanted to worship, to think that there were many paths and any ways to worship God. And because of that, they come under the divine discipline of God. And the way that God disciplined them was through problems and through pain. And the pain came through the judgment, through the attack of this Babylonian nation. Ezekiel saw terrible things. He saw people murdered in the streets. He saw the brutality of what one man could do to another man with piled up dead bodies. He saw that with his own eyes. Now God gives him this vision. It's a vision, the vision of dead bones everywhere. But God said, I'm not finished with you yet. Can these dead bones live? Our nation, I've never seen bodies piled up in the street. We've actually never, in our lifetime, we've never experienced war on our soil. But that's not to be said about most nations of the earth. Most places in the world today, there has been bloodshed and massive war on their soil. The reason the Russians are so aggressive in protecting their nation and trying to keep up with America and building a huge military arsenal is because the Russians had somewhere between 20 and 50 million of their own people on their own soil die in World War II. The old timers in Russia will never forget the masses of bodies that were burned, that were destroyed, that were firebombed. Whole cities that literally starved to death of a million people. They'll never forget that. They will never let that happen on their soil again. Ezekiel saw a horrific vision in the natural. But I want to bring that around to the spiritual. Because God wants you to see the way that He sees today. God wants you to see the way that He sees. And where did Ezekiel see this vision? Ezekiel saw this vision in the valley. The valley was full of dead man's bones. The valley for you and I today is the community, the city, the place where we live. People who don't have a relationship with Christ. Sometimes when we look at the brokenness of humanity, we get ourselves caught up in thinking like the world thinks. We think the way the politicians think. We think the way the natural mind thinks when we look at the brokenness of our communities and of our cities and the problems that we have today. But I want you to know today, the problems that we have today, although they have outward natural manifestations, they are always the result of a deeper problem. It is a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem of men not being connected in right fellowship with God. Sometimes we see the problems and we just think about, you know, people who have a drug problem or people who have a sexual problem or people who have an abusive problem. We see these problems as someone out there, but everyone in this room knows that you have problems. Everyone in this room knows that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God. Everyone in this room knows that you need the mercies of the Lord anew and fresh every morning. Sometimes we see things that other people are doing. We think, my God, how could they do that? I just want you to turn the mirror and look at yourself and say, my God, how could you do some of the things that you do? Some of the things that you say. You see, sometimes it's easy to point the picture out there, but God brought Ezekiel and He let him see it right there. See, God understood that Ezekiel had to see it for himself. People were spiritually lost. People were spiritually lost without a Savior. And God said, look at these dry bones. These are precious people to me. These dry bones, the lives of these people, they're precious to me. And can these people live? Can these people live? You see, people are precious to God. People are valuable to God. The other day I drove around. I just left and I was going to go up to have lunch up here in the Sanford Mall area. And as I turned the corner, there were two women that were out on the street. It was obvious they were drug addicts, and they were working the streets. And we're going to think that right in our community. You know, but before I got to that place, I passed this Muslim center where every Friday there are literally hundreds and hundreds of Muslims. It's interesting, the Muslims that meet right around our corner, their property, they have a large piece of land. Our land that goes back here is wetlands. but their property actually abates ours from the back end. They actually called one of our guys a couple of years ago, and they wanted to sell us a piece of this wetland. Well, the wetland doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do anybody really any good. It would just be a piece of property that we couldn't use. But they're right around the corner, and they're sincerely seeking after who they believe to be God. But it's the wrong God. It's not the God who's revealed himself through his son Jesus, the God who's come to bring freedom. Listen, we think it's freedom of religion, and we have freedom of religion. What we have is a freedom to worship the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and his name is Jesus. You see, when people worship religion, they become bound up. They become mean. They become angry. They become frustrated, because when you try to follow a religious system, it never works. It never works. It's hard. It's difficult. It's rules. It's regulations. You see, we don't live by rules and regulations. All there are things that we do and there are things that we don't do. It's not about rules and regulations today. It's about a life that God has created you and I to live today. You see, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. Look what he says in verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. God's hand was upon him. God's hand is upon you and I today, just like Ezekiel of old. And what God wants us to do is to open our eyes spiritually to begin to see people the way that God sees them. Begin to see the people that you work with, your co-workers. Begin to see the community that you live in, your neighbors. This week I was praying for my neighbors, the two girls that live next door to me that practice an alternative lifestyle. Nice girls, but they're lost. They have some concept about who God is, but they don't know God. They don't know the God of the Bible. God's placed me right next door to them. Isn't that amazing? I live right next door to them. I'm the only Jesus. I'm the only God. I'm the only Bible that they're probably ever going to know. I don't know. They may have other Christians, but I have the opportunity. I have the opportunity. They're right in my sphere of influence. You see, God opened Ezekiel's eyes to see the way that God saw them. You see, when you begin to see people the way that God sees them, you don't put them in demographic groups. You don't put them in political groups. You don't begin to identify people by what political party or what kind of practices or what kind of things that they do. You begin to see them through the eyes of God, and that is the eyes of love. You see, the Bible says that when Jesus looked out on the brokenness of humanity, he began to weep. He didn't categorize people by parties, by political parties, or by affiliations, or by labels that we put on people. He began to see them as people who were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. See, people without the Lord need Christ. They need Christ. And the way that they're going to experience God, the way that they're going to connect with God, the way that you've connected with God, is when you begin to live up, begin to see them the way that God sees them. As you begin to connect in relationship with them. You see, the fact is, rich or poor, big or little, skinny or plump, red, yellow, black, and white, everyone needs a Savior. And God has given this church a heart, the heart to bring his love to every man, woman, boy, and girl. You see, Ezekiel's vision is our vision today. Ezekiel's vision is our vision. The challenge before us today is to allow God to give us Ezekiel's vision first for our families, first for your families and for your children. My number one responsibility on this planet is to, one, stay married to my wife, and number two, bring my children up in the ways of God. It is not the responsibility of the church to teach my kids about God. It is not the responsibility of the school to educate my kids. You see, I am the one that God has entrusted with these life lessons of spiritual impartation and even education and knowledge. I choose to allow other people to help and come alongside and assist me in these areas. But I am the one that's primarily responsible to raise my children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. My family. What good would it do me if I won the whole world for Jesus, but my boys didn't serve Christ? You see, I can't guarantee what their future is going to look like, but I know to this point of their life, I've made a place, an environment. I've even designed a whole local church and the style of worship and the way that we do things here at City Church so that another generation will want to worship God. You see, all of you in here are saved. Now, maybe some of you today don't know God, but all of you in here at least have had an opportunity, because I've seen all of you except for two or three at least once or twice before. All of you have had an opportunity to surrender your life to God. But there's a whole generation of young people who don't know God. You see, when you begin to see the way that God sees, I read this week in the Orlando Sentinel, there was an article by a man. He talked about what's happening among our young people in this generation. And he talked about the reality. He said, listen, he said, the generation that we have today, he said, only 1 in 4 18 to 29-year-olds identify with any kind of organized religion or belief system in a God. Only 1 in 4. We're losing a generation quickly because of the environment of our world that we live in today where there is no God. Men like Stephen Hawking, some of the most brilliant people on the planet who try to explain the existence of this universe without God. This week, the big article that came out in all the magazines and was in the New York Times and was published all over the news was this physicist, this famous astronomer who sits in the seat of Isaac Newton at Cambridge, who's crippled up, and I forgot the disease that he's had, but he's had it for many, many years. And he said, you don't have to have a God to explain the origins of the universe. And I stopped. I read that. You know, my natural man is to say, Stephen, you know, no matter how bright you think you are, you're really dumb. But you know what I did instead of that today? I said, God, save Stephen Hawking. God, have mercy on Stephen Hawking. You know, because the reality is if Stephen Hawking doesn't meet his Savior, if he doesn't come into a relationship with God, he'll spend eternity separated from God. Eternity. See, there is a valley of dry bones. There's a place of eternity where God has created, not for mankind, but for those in heaven who rebelled against him, who knew his glory, who knew his presence, who knew his power. His name was Lucifer. He was the most brilliant of all the angels. He was created to be a worshiper of God and to lead all the host of heaven into worship. Lucifer in his pride rose up, wanting to be like God, drug a third of the angels with him in rebellion against the holy God. Jesus spoke of this moment of rebellion like this, and he said, with the finger of God, I saw Satan cast out of heaven. God's little finger would not tolerate rebellion in heaven. You see, the God that we serve doesn't need a man. Man created in his own image to verify that he is the God who spoke the worlds into existence. Bless Stephen Hawking's heart. But he's wrong. He's wrong. You see, we know. We've experienced this God. You see, the vision that God has given us for this city, his hand is upon us. You see, God's hand is upon you. He brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. God saved you. He brought you out. He saved you. He changed you. Guys, it isn't just for you today. When God brought you out of darkness, he gave you the ability to be in relationship with him, created you with gifts and talents, things that you will be able to do in his kingdom that will help other people experience this love of God. See, where you are today is exactly where God wants you to be. Where you are today. Sometimes we get frustrated about the place that we are. We're frustrated with our job, or we're frustrated with the relationship with our spouse, or we're frustrated. We all experience this at times. We get frustrated with our work. We get frustrated with our station of life. We get frustrated in the house that we live in. We get frustrated in the place where we're at. But what I've discovered is that we have a wrong vision about life. We still think it's about us and our happiness. But wherever you are right now, it isn't where you're going to end up. You know, my first job was a paperboy. Well, I was in fourth grade, 9 years old, 38 years ago. I'm no longer a paperboy. Your life will change. But if you begin to see that the place and the station that God has placed you right now is exactly where God wants you to be, because he has a sphere of influence for you to touch. He has a people for you that only you will be able to minister to. That's challenging for us. That's hard for us because life is full of all kinds of choices and decisions. But the reality today, when we begin to think of God, my life is here to glorify you. There's no coincidences. There's no coincidences. We all have a story this morning, and our story this morning includes, not only includes, but really is driven by this mission to see people the way that God sees them. City Church, located in Sanford right now, has been all over Central Florida. We literally were in Orlando. We started in Metro West. We went to Altamont Springs. We were in Longwood. We met in parks. We literally met in parks. We met in school buses. We met in the mall. We met in theaters. We met in clubhouses. City Church of Orlando, of Sanford, has literally been all over the place. And there were many times when I didn't understand, but I can tell you every place that we went, we had a sphere of influence. Every place that we went, we introduced the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love to men, women, boys, and girls, regardless of race, creed, or color, regardless of social economic background. You see, everywhere we went, we were about doing the mission. The reason that we are still in existence today, church planters, the guys that study church plants, will tell you that we should not be in existence. There is no way that this church should still be here. We made too many moves. We bounced around in too many locations. It's impossible. But when I look back over the last 11 years, I got to say, God, you have been faithful. But the one thing that we never deviated from, no matter how hard and how difficult it was, we never deviated from the mission to bring God's love to the city, even if we had to crawl in, even if we had to bust in, even if we had to drag ourselves to do what God had called us to do. We stayed focused on the vision. See, God came around Ezekiel, and he placed him in this place. There are people all over this community who need dead, who need Jesus, who are spiritually dead. Look what God says to him in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 3. He asks him, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can they live? Can they live? Can this city experience a move of God? Can experience a move of God? Can this city see local churches all over this community become revived? Can it happen? Can a youth group impact the city in such a way that it causes a revival to break out and the whole state of Florida is impacted? Can it happen? Can it happen? I want you to know, can it happen? It's happening right before your very eyes. Right before your very eyes, God is moving by his Spirit. Families are being touched. Children are being changed. You know, the reality today is that God has a part for you in this. You have a part. See, God has already done his part. When Ezekiel saw this vision, God said to him, "Prophesy to these bones. Speak to these bones." And the bones, they came alive. They began. They didn't come alive completely yet, but they began to gather back together. And then the ligaments and the tendons and the skin came on them, but they were not alive yet. You see, God did his part. God did his part when he sent Jesus, the Son of God from heaven's glory, to live on this earth. God did his part. God did his part 2,000 years ago when our Savior hung from a cross and said it was finished. The Bible says that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. It is finished. The power of Satan was broken. The curse of the law, the curse of sin, was broken over mankind. God did his part. 3 days later, exactly what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37, exactly what he saw happened. Ligaments, sinews, bones begin to come together in the valley of death. They still did not have life. See, God did his part when he sent Jesus upon earth and commissioned his disciples to go proclaim the good news. God did his part. God's always done his part in your life. Listen to me today. God's always done his part. God never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. I was praying early this morning. I said, "God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy." I said, "God, I blew it. You don't need to know what it was. It was between me and God. It's significant to God, but I messed up. I did it. I blew it. God, have mercy." We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. And today God made it possible for me to experience the forgiveness of sin. But it doesn't stop there, folks. It doesn't stop there. You see, God said, "Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to those bones." See, God did his part. Now you have to do your part. You got to do your part. Prophesy. Open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. Words don't come out unless you open. You see, there's two ways that God uses us to do our part. The first is through our testimony. I always tell people all the time. I said, if you just tell people your testimony, if you just tell people your testimony, it makes way for you to tell his testimony. When you tell people your story, what God has done in your life, then you can give the testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. You could tell people about his story of redemption and grace and forgiveness. So you got to open your mouth. The second thing that we got to do is we got to live the life. The worst thing in the world is for there to be a bunch of religious people trying to do religious things, fall into a dead religion, stale, worshiping the past, focused on a yesteryear instead of the future that God has created for mankind, future of eternal glory. We're always moving forward into the kingdom of God. It's our lifestyle, the way that we live, our actions, our deeds, words and deeds, words and deeds. Everyone say words. Everyone say deeds. That's your part. Everyone say God's part. God's part. God did his part. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Acts chapter 1 says you should receive power to be witnesses. God's already done his part. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, his Spirit lives in you. You're not powerless. You're not powerless against the devil. You have authority. You have spiritual authority in God. You don't have to give in to temptation. You don't have to give in to every whim that comes your way. You have the Spirit of God and you can make choices, good choices, right choices, because His Spirit is in you. God's done His part. Now it's time for us, the church, to do our part. We do it individually, but we'd also do it corporately. God's given us a vision of thousands. Vision of thousands in this city. Not just church members. Who cares? We want people who are alive. People who are bringing God's love to the city, one person at a time. We want people who are expressing and demonstrating the love of God. We don't want just church members. We want people who are actively living out their faith, making a difference in the world. And no matter what politicians say, no matter how people try to ostracize or no matter what kind of evil things they say about us, they will see our good works. They will see our love demonstrated by reaching out to those who are hurting, those who cannot help themselves, those who are not being judgmental and critical and categorizing people in political parties and lumping them together in social demographic groups. No! We're people who love all people. Just like Jesus hanging on the cross. He didn't say on the cross, it's only for you that already believe. No! Jesus said, the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick need a physician. The world is sick. Sick in sin. They can't see it. And they're looking for us to do our part. Will you join me today? See, prophesy to those bones. Ezekiel prophesied to those bones. Boom. And they came alive. That's what happens. That's the connection. That's the divine connection. The Holy Spirit of God does a supernatural connection in people's lives. And they're changed. Just like you were changed. Don't tell me that they can't get saved. I saw an 89-year-old Jewish woman who never believed in God. If he existed, he was the great something out there. I saw an 89-year-old Jewish woman who her whole life had been opposed to Jesus, had been taught as a little girl that Jesus was a bastard. That's what they believed. That's what they believed about my Jesus. I saw an 89-year-old Jewish woman who was my grandmother, who was completely ideologically different from me in the political realm of life. I mean, she was a 180. I saw her at the age of 89. Raise her hand in a church service. In an old, nasty movie theater because we were doing the mission. We didn't have all the tools. We didn't have near what we have today. We had to bust everything in and set it up every week. We had to bust the kids in. I saw her raise her hand, give her life to Jesus. Not only did she raise her hand, I saw her walk the aisle and say the prayer. First time in my life, I saw my grandma actually try to read. 89, pretty tough to change, I actually saw her trying to read her Bible. It can happen. Let's bow our heads right now. You have a coffee cup in your hand. I'm commissioning this first service, 8:30 service. I'm commissioning you. God's already done his part. We connected with God in worship. Our worship team did a phenomenal job. Incredible job this morning, bringing us right into the presence of God. Now God's empowering you. He's releasing you. I'm going to ask, how many will join with me to do your part? How many of you today, I just want to see, how many are going to join me and say, Pastor, by God's grace, I'm going to do my part. I see the vision. There are people in my sphere of influence that I can connect with. I can hand a card to. There are people in my sphere of influence I can do a good deed, kind deed. I can demonstrate God's love in a practical way. People in my neighborhood, people in my work, I don't know, your school. You just join with me bringing God's love to the... Can I just see your hand in the service? Or can you just raise your hand right now? All across the audience. Amen. Amen. Can you just take your neighbor's hand right now? We're going to pray for one. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to commission you. I'm going to release you into this city. Father, we thank you that you called every one of us by your name. Just like you did to Ezekiel. Your hand was upon Ezekiel for good. God, you showed him. You gave him this great vision to see this valley that was full of dead bones. People who were spiritually dead, separated from you. God, you told them to speak, prophesy, tell them. God, today, those who raise their hand, a commission today. Send them out today to do your will. Send them out today, God, to live the life in word and in deed.
Thanks for listening to this message, Valley of Dry Bones, with lead pastor Eugene Smith. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.com or call 407-321-9600.